You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, as the temperature climbs and crews across the province prepare for another fire season, we look at the climate and weather patterns that have brought us to this point and what we can expect in the coming months as we move out of the latest La Nina trend and move into the prevailing El Nino that could bring hotter, drier weather later this season and into 2027. Today, we chat with Brian Proctor, a meteorologist with Environment and Climate Change Canada, about what we've seen in the last few months and what we could expect in the coming weeks and months as we head into a warm spring and summer here in Northwest British Columbia. Stay with us.
My name is Brian Proctor, and I'm a meteorologist with Environment Canada.
Great, Brian. Thanks so much for being with us here on CICK News. Of course, over this past winter, we saw quite a bit of snow here in the region, mostly in the Alpine area, but also in the city of Prince Rupert. Some of the most snow that they've seen in the last couple of decades. And I'm curious to know if that's what has been trending over these last few months and what to expect in the coming months in the summer as we head into what has now been known as wildfire season.
Yeah, we're definitely headed for wildfire season very quickly, unfortunately. But if we want to think about what we experienced over the winter, you pretty much hit it right on the head. We saw extensive snowfall in high alpine areas over much of the coastal mountains and the stretching across the Bulkley Valley as well. And areas further to the north saw significant snowfall as well, whereas the southern half of the province was a complete contrast, where they saw much less snowfall for many of those areas. So the fact that there's snowpack over the southwest interior and the south coast mountains is very, very minimal with it at all at this point in time. So we really have that dichotomy between the northern half of the province and the southern half of the province. And as you said, Prince Rupert really was probably one of the largest indicators of that dichotomy or that difference between the two areas, where they saw that extensive snowfall from a couple of events in the Rupert area. But in general terms, we're really transitioning very rapidly towards towards spring at this point in time, and it's moving very quickly. If we look at our mean temperatures through the month, through the daily mean temperatures through the month of April for the Smithers area, you know, we've had basically the mean temperature's been positive for the whole month. But in general terms, it's been a fairly, to the middle of the month, a fairly really slow melting kind of conditions for the Alpine, if I can put it that way. You know, we've had daytime sort of mean temperatures floating in that sort of variable amount between, you know, sort of +2 and +6, +7 kind of idea for the first half of the month. And in the last bit of the month, we've seen them start to accelerate those daytime temperatures, where we're seeing almost the mean temperature now getting very close to the double digits at this point in time. And that kind of forecast is continuing for us. If we look at the forecast for Smithers this week, our daytime highs are getting somewhere up into that sort of upper teens, even potentially low 20s as we move into the weekend. And the overnight lows are getting back up into the sort of mid-single digits, if I can put it that way. So definitely warming is on the sort of trend for us at this point in time. And it looks like that's going to really hold through the middle of the first week of May at this point as well. We've got a little bit of an impulse maybe coming through Thursday into Thursday night, but it doesn't look like it's going to be all that significant. So generally warming and generally dry conditions really persisting right into the first portion of May at this point in time. And then when we start looking at our seasonal forecast moving forward, so we get a little bit more of what's happening in May into June, it's really suggesting warm conditions are pretty likely for much of British Columbia, with a lot of that warmth being centered on the coastal mountains and probably fairly dry conditions. So, you know, we've had that snowpack out there. It's probably a good news story from a fire weather point of view in the short term. But in the longer term, conditions look like they're drying and warming and potentially fairly impactfully.
Yeah. I know that in the last couple of years here, especially, we've seen this La Nina trend, you know, cooler weather, more rain, more wetter conditions, but it seems like we're headed in the opposite direction again, back to this El Nino, and I've read and heard discussions of potentially a super El Nino. Is that something that the Weather Service is tracking, and what does that all mean?
Well, we think it's an interesting question you asked. So what a La Nina is, it tends to produce cooler and wetter conditions across much of British Columbia, especially in the wintertime, from a La Nina point of view. And that's definitely what we saw last winter, where we saw, you know, the area in the Smithers area, the Buckley Valley, and even some of the coastal areas in the northern half of the province, saw fairly significant amounts of snowfall and colder than normal temperatures. And we really transitioned out of La Nina really through the first portion of spring, and we're really into neutral conditions at this point in time, which is one reason why we're looking at probably a more normal kind of summer for us, you know, maybe a little bit warmer than normal, but normal from a simple point of view. But what we're really monitoring that's potentially more impactful, I think, is it's really the El Nino that's really going to be sort of developing through the summer and strengthening as you move into fall and towards winter at this point in time. It has about a 25% chance of being a very impactful El Nino, if I could put it that way. And if we look back on the period of record, we've had about 9 really impactful El Ninos between 1958 and 2026. This one looks like it's got about a 25% chance of being another impactful El Nino. And what that tends to mean and lead to is warmer than normal temperatures for the winter and reduced amounts of snowfall as well. So we're really setting things up as we transition from a fairly typical summer, if I could put it that way, into a strengthening El Nino in the fall and into the winter, and likely a much warmer winter than what we've experienced in the last year, and a much significantly reduced snowfall from what we saw last winter as well. So a complete contrast between that La Nina winter we have in the area and the El Nino winter we're likely having next winter.
Brian, another, you know, thought is, you know, all of this data obviously is collected, you know, over a period of time, sometimes in real time, different stations from across the province in our region here. How is that collected? And how does the Weather Service delineate that information to come up with some of these trends so you can understand what's happening, but also be able to predict or at least have a decent estimate of what to expect, especially, you know, this time of year when we do see the warmer weather coming? There already are a number of wildfires in the region and in the province. So how is that information collected and delineated so that we can understand and we can have these types of conversations?
So it's a really interesting question you asked. So we record that information along with our partners like the BC Wildfire Service, BC Hydro, other organizations. We share that information globally with our partner sort of weather agencies around the world. So we use all that information and we use it in terms of a number of ways. One is to monitor local conditions and forecast local conditions. And another one is to look at it in a broader terms and sort of coming up with global models and how the atmosphere is behaving. So one way to think about the atmosphere, it's a fluid and it's going to do its own thing. It's going to have its own little circulations, its own little sort of stream flows within that sort of large body of fluid and how it focuses. And we use all that information and put it into models and also into sort of pattern recognition schemes to really come up with ideas of how things are likely to be moving forward. So we sort of look at it from a short-term forecast point of view, a medium-range forecast point of view, and a long-range forecast point of view. And as we go out in time or extend in time, we need to extend the domain of what we're looking at to be more and more of the globe. So it's really looking at a multitude of scales and a multitude of timescales for impacts moving forward.
Okay, Brian, we'll leave it there for now, but thanks so much for giving us your time and your insight.
No problem at all, sir. You have a good day.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.